Welcome back. This is City Views. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce. When Salt Lake City School District rebuilt Hillside Middle School a couple of years ago, they went green. The school has a white roof to reflect heat, light sensors to take advantage of sunlight, and water-saving appliances and landscaping. But you don't need a brand new building to promote and practice sustainability. Joining me now to talk about greening up education is Mary McIntyre. She is Director of Sustainability and Food Services at Roland Hall, a private school in Salt Lake City. And Mary, hi, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me on today.
Also, Andrea Walker, Executive Director of the Utah Society for Environmental Education, a nonprofit that promotes environmental education in Utah and has since 1981. And thanks so much, Andrea, for your time.
Thank you.
Is your child's school recycling or growing a garden? What environmental lessons are you seeing or would like to see at your neighborhood school? If you have questions or comments, feel free to join us. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255, or send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Mary McIntyre, I want to start with you. It's becoming more common for cities, for colleges to have sustainability directors, but a school, a single school having a sustainability director, someone who is overseeing environmental practices. When and why did Roland Hall decide to make this leap and hire somebody completely dedicated to these values?
Well, that's a great question, and it's something... It is unusual, yes. It is unusual, and we're very fortunate. I'm very fortunate to be in a position that I'm doing something I love and I'm passionate about. We were fortunate about 6 years ago, the school applied for a grant and was awarded a grant from the EE4 Foundation, which enabled us to lay out the groundwork for our sustainability program. And a piece of that was targeted towards having a person like myself, well, me, to run the program. And it was a part-time position, and it, again, was something that the school, the board of trustees, the larger school community made a commitment to this as part of fitting into the mission of the school.
So what are some of the environmental measures that Roland Hall has implemented on campus? I understand you've got a huge composting operation going on. Name some of these things and maybe we can talk about them in more detail.
Sure. I mean, we started with recycling programs, operational initiatives like lighting retrofits, eliminating all of the summer mailings that go out, paper mailings, and making things available electronically. And that's progressed through the years, through the last 5 years. The composting started very small with our preschool program composting their snack scraps in their classrooms, to now this past summer, the end of the summer, we installed a large-scale on-site composting unit. I mean, large-scale meaning we can do 3 cubic yards worth of compost material, which allows us to recycle or compost everything coming out of our cafeteria. And we've been fortunate that with these projects, we've raised done fundraising, we've received grants, as I mentioned, we've had a number of parents that have generously donated to the program, because we have a very small budget for this, as much as, you know, so you need to be creative with how you put the funds together.
Well, I think that people would say, oh, Roland Hall, it's this, you know, private school, they've got lots of money to devote to this. My public school could not possibly do this. What advice are you giving to say that, you know, it doesn't cost a lot of money to make some of these changes?
There's a lot of opportunities available to raise funds. And I'll give you an example with our solar program. We have a small solar array, 11 kilowatt array that we put on 18 months ago. We received $19,000 back from the state towards that program. So that's a rebate program that the state sponsored, both for commercial nonprofits and residentials, that we were able to take advantage of. Our composting program, half of, you know, the $10,000 we received as a grant from the rest of the funds we raised through donations and fundraisers. So as I said before, there's some creativity that needs to go in terms of your internal, you know, use of support, you know, parent support and community support. But there are public programs available to help fund these initiatives.
Mary McIntyre, Director of Sustainability and Food Services at Roland Hall, a private school in Salt Lake City. Also with us, Andrea Walker, Executive Director of the Utah Society for Environmental Education. And if you'd like to join us about greening up your school, if you've got ideas, 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Andrea Walker, your group aims to encourage environmental literacy, and this is from your website, by teaching Utahns how to think, not what to think, about the environment. Expand on that.
Well, we've been around, like you said, since 1981, and we've been really well supported and really well received. And I think that the statement you just read is really one of our big strengths, is we're not telling people what to do. We're a non-advocacy organization. So we're not saying one thing is bad and one thing is good. We're saying here are both sides of the story, and you make the choice that works best for you and that you can implement in your life. And, you know, what you can do. Small steps, big things, it's all good as long as it's the right choice for you. And it's an informed decision.
How are the schools and the teachers that you work with, that you consult with, how are they approaching environmental subjects right now and, you know, integrating a consciousness into the curriculum?
You know, I would say that there are a lot of different efforts going on. We typically work with the organizations that then work with the teachers. Mm-hmm. We also do some teacher trainings, but what we do is try to help organizations and those people that do environmental education or those people that are training teachers to do this in their classroom, help them help the teachers incorporate that, if that makes sense. So we're teaching them, you know, making sure that people, when they're offering up environmental education programs or activities, that they correlate to core standards that teachers already are teaching or that they need to teach, so that it makes a really easy fit to do environmental education in the classroom. And the Green Schools is definitely one way that teachers can easily incorporate environmental education, not only into facilities, but into practices, so everyday behaviors with their kids, into their curriculum as well.
They can describe this Green Schools program for us, if you would.
So we just started, actually in partnership with the Salt Lake City Mayor's Office, a Green Schools Awards program. So we will be recognizing schools that are making efforts towards becoming green schools or who are green schools. And the way we developed this program, we didn't want it to be exclusive. So like you mentioned in the beginning, well, my school can't do that. We can't buy a composter. We can't do anything like that. So the way we've developed this awards program is that there are basically four different pillars of a green school, or four focus areas that a school could choose to work on. There are the sustainable facilities. So if you have the means to do that, that's fantastic. But there are also things, sustainable practices, which would be the behaviors. So are your kids recycling? Do you have a lights off program? You know, are you using both sides of your paper? Are you being aware of those things? Those are easy. Those don't cost money. Anyone could do that. There's also environmental education. So how are you actually incorporating this into your curriculum and making it kind of a more robust program in your school? And then community involvement. So how are you working with all these other organizations in Salt Lake and in Utah who can help you out to get these things done? Because there are so many nonprofits who are willing and able to help make this happen in your school. So a school could choose one or more of these pillars to focus on each year, and that's how they would get their green school recognition, is by saying, you know, we want to work on one, two, three, or four of these, and at the end of the year they show us how they've been able to do that, and then they become recognized as a green school.
Mary McIntyre, you wanted to add?
Well, when we started the program, and when I talked to other people involved in this in other schools, we targeted what we refer to as the low-hanging fruit. You know, what, like Andrea said, lights out programs. We started a program.
Turning off the switch when you leave the classroom.
The classrooms. Mm-hmm. Which literally we were involved with this energy competition called the Green Cup Challenge. Our first year with this program, we tracked for over a 1 month period just reducing our electrical consumption. And we saved almost $1,500 on our electricity bills across the school, both campuses, for that one period of time. Mm. And that something didn't cost us anything, saved us money, and it, you know, raised the awareness of not just the students, but also the parents coming on campus, guests coming on campus. Things like preschool lunches, asking the, you know, when you bring your lunch to school, bring a reusable napkin, or bring a cloth napkin instead of a paper napkin. I mean, it's little things, double-sided printing of paper.
That's probably a huge one for especially elementary kids and you know, kids doing essays on the computer and
high school kids. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And some of our printers, we've actually changed the default settings so that when faculty or staff print to them or students print to them, they're limited either number of papers, pages they can print, whether it is it automatically prints on double-sided and you have to make manual changes to print single-sided. And that saves money. And that adds, and that is easy to do.
And as technology is incorporated in the classroom with smart boards and things, I mean, I imagine a lot of teachers don't need to print out those handouts that they used to, right?
Definitely.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think adding on to what Mary is saying is that, you know, these green schools, you think of it and you think, okay, it's good for the kids. It's good for the environment, but it's good for the kids. It's good for their learning. It's great for the teachers. And then there's also a huge benefit at the administrative level with the money that people are saving. Mm-hmm. So it definitely ranges. It's not just we're doing this because it's good for the environment. And there are a lot of different reasons to do this, the environment being one of them.
How are the kids reacting to this? Are they getting in on the act? Are they, you know, spouting off great green ideas? Or Mary McIntyre?
Well, it's really interesting. I'll use our composting program as an example. How so many of these children are already aware, the younger children in particular, when I go in and do a little lesson on composting, you know, tied in with the introduction of our program, the first question I say is, who knows what composting is? And I have 4, 5, and 6-year-olds that half of them raise their hand and start talking about what they do at home or just having a general understanding, which to me is I find amazing because that certainly wasn't my generation. And for these children, it's just second nature, whether it's turning off a light, whether it's putting the piece of paper into the recycling bin, asking, where's the recycling bin? And I find, you know, the kids embrace it. They have... there's a lot of opportunities to do different things with the kids at different ages.
We only have less than a minute now, but Andrea Walker, if parents are out there, if you know community members want to help their school become more green, what are some resources? Just very quickly.
Well, we actually have a Green Schools website on our website, which is www.usee.org. And basically our mission with this program, as well as our larger mission, is to make those connections with people. So, you know, if someone called me and they wanted information about recycling, I know the people that they should talk to, and I can send them resources, and I can hook them up with someone that could maybe come speak in their classroom or come do a waste audit for them. You know, or if they wanted to learn about community garden, you know, there's Wasatch Community Gardens, there's the Utah Native Plant Society, there's many, many organizations that can help them out with that work. And so what we do with this Green Schools program and with our program in general is when we get that phone call, my job is to make sure that they find the information they need so that they can do high quality environmental education.
Andrea Walker is Executive Director of the Utah Society for Environmental Education. We'll have a link to your website on our website, kcpw.org. Andrea, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Also, Mary McIntyre, Director of Sustainability and Food Services at Roland Hall. Mary, thanks to you.
Thank you.
City Views is a production of KCPW News. Thanks to Beth Clifford, and Jesse Ellis is our technical director. You can continue the discussion online at kcpw.org or check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Next time, it's Politics Up Close with Jeff Robinson. Tune in for that tomorrow. For City Views, I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce.